Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build your own perfect clothes with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. I am so thankful to Armoire because I was in a genuine pickle last weekend. I was rushing to New Jersey, shout out NJ, the Garden State, not hunting for new housewives, but going to a friend's baby shower, and I had literally nothing to wear. So thank goodness for Armoire. I opened my bag from Armoire, grabbed this beautiful, bright lime green Sachin and Bobby midi dress, and it fit like a glove, and it saved me all of that extra stress. There are so many benefits to Armoire. You always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. It's sustainable. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once, and Armoire is women-founded and women-led. Right now, AGs can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/andyscrolls. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/andyscrolls to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. I started taking Hormone Harmony because when it's that time of the month, I truly do not feel like myself. Starting about a week and a half before, I get the wildest cravings, bloating, exhaustion like no other, and now it's easier than ever to manage PMS and menopause because of Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony supports hormonal balance and regulation, which for me is a biggie. It relieves symptoms of menopause, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels, and improves sleep quality. Alexis and John's engagement is keeping me up at night, so thank goodness for Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews, and there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndyScrolls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code AndyScrolls for 15% off today. Okay, and we're back with Teresa, friend of, just kidding, famed New York Times bestselling author and absolute Bravoholic, Michael Arsenault. So we just had like a really fascinating conversation, which I'm super into. I know it's going to be received really well. And let's shift gears into Orange County.
Yes.
There's something, I don't know how to take it in. I guess there's a level of shock I feel, but also confusion about the number of people who identify as Team Shan this season. And it's probably because they do seem to add a ... of like, I really don't like her, but this season I'm Team Shan. And I just think to myself, you didn't need to say the intro. You could have just skipped to the end. We don't really need to know that you're typically on team everybody else, but I guess that's where we are. I can't, you know, turn down a gift horse in the mouth, whatever the fuck that goddamn thing, idiom, whatever is. Like, what is it? Don't turn a gift horse in the mouth, whatever, some kind of goddamn horse and a mouth.
I was like, Yellowstone? I'm sorry.
I guess welcome, I should say, to people who now find themselves in a universe where they, I don't know, may even, God forbid, enjoy Shannon, let alone have empathy for her. We're so happy you're here. We are so happy to have you take a seat.
I am standing Shannon. And I have no dot, dot, dot. I probably dislike Shannon. I've worried about Shannon. she can stress you out, but I like Shannon. I'm surprised I'm enjoying her this much, but I'm not surprised that I'm enjoying her, if that makes sense. Like, I'm glad this isn't as... I was worried for her because while I was intrigued to watch Alexis return, I was like, wow, that's kind of mean. I'm going to watch, but yikes. But she looks great. She is handling Tamara's predictable nastiness well, all things considered. And Alexis is such a flop that you kind of can't help but root for Shannon Storm's Bedore. But I'm loving her this season. I'm rooting for her. Like, I want her, and she should... Johnny J is terrible. You do not demand your money back on the facelift. You let them keep that face in peace. Nasty work. Nasty work.
She looks incredible.
She does.
She does. She does. And I just feel like she's handling stuff. She's taking responsibility for it. I really feel like I see a lot of genuine growth. And you can't say that about Tamara Judge. Not that that has ever been a goal of Tamara's. God forbid we see her grow. That's usually something she saves as like the little final like feather in her cap at a reunion of like, oh, but I've grown. I'm going to scream at you for 3 episodes. But at the very end, I'm going to say, but I'm really excited that we can move forward and be friends. And there's something to be said for for me, I genuinely see Shannon understanding the consequences of her actions, taking true accountability, not trying to hide from it. And on the other side of the table, you see someone just screaming at you that you're a drunk. I mean, I don't know that it's really hard at this point to say, Tamara, you're kind of out of line. I just think Tamara has met her own match, which is herself. Like, Tamara is her own worst enemy, which is so ironic considering she's trying to scream at Shan that she's the one in the room with all the dark. I don't know.
I was very happy. I mean, Tamara's still good TV, but when she came back, I was so happy because she was exactly what they needed. And she still is important on the show. Don't get me wrong. But I'm, to your point, it's reminding me of what I don't enjoy about Tamara, in that there's just this easiness to be able to just transition to a level of nastiness so fast and so swiftly to people that she's supposed to be close to. That's just not enjoyable to watch. And given the situation, like, it's just yelling, you're a drunk, you're a drunk, you're a drunk, is just, it's mean in a way that I don't enjoy that. And it's really not helpful. And Tamara is stuck in a way that kind of like Teresa. But yeah, I do wish Tamara would grow up a little bit. Like, she's so good at TV, but in those moments, it reminds me that the shit can get stale. And I wish she would know when to yield that type of, I don't say wickedness, but yeah, I don't know. It was nasty to look at. I'm glad Victoria was there. It's also to make me laugh about, we're all Christian women, and then looks at Heather.
Literally, that's something that I love so much as a Jewish person, because so often it's like, yeah, we all love Christ, right? And I'm like, I mean, I'm sure he's a lovely man, but like, I
heard some nice things.
Heard some great things. Like, just, he seems like a lovely guy. Yeah, for her to say that in the moment, because Vicky, God bless her, is so oblivious. It's one of her best qualities as a housewife. So to have her come back to, I mean, at one point, Emily being like, roll the tape. It was chef's kiss. Emily Simpson, this season is so good.
She is.
Tamara should be really fucking lucky. She should be sending thank you notes to Emily, to a different extent to Gina, because there are these moments where if it was just Tamara on her own, if it was just Tamara as the loudest voice in the room, the punctuation at the end of the sentence, we would suffer for it. It would just be too dark. And so what I think Orange County is doing really well, they're dancing this really, really delicate dance of having Tamara there
allowing or whatever, having her do her most explosive dark stuff, but they have a counterpoint. Like they have the confessional of someone really smart saying something intelligent but funny, where it's all of this air that's being sucked out of the room. Like Emily is giving us the oxygen we need to survive it. Like it's really, they're doing this really, really interesting thing on Orange County, which they did last season too. And it's so entertaining. And I think we would really, really suffer if we didn't have those other people in the cast just like kind of pulling it all together. Because Tamra unedited would be really, really tough. I just think she doesn't know how else to act but to Tamra. And just watching a woman be so strident, full of so much happy ego, for her to be so confident, being such a dick. Like, I don't want to borrow from some words from New Jersey. She's just such a twat. And it's just like, you know what it is? I think she's someone who probably in her real life is pretty humble. I actually think Tamra in her real life is probably really pretty humble and really grounded. Like she's always been someone who has said, Andy, I'm so appreciative for the opportunity. I believe her when she says it. She's probably one of the best people to hang out with, I would argue. Like, you know, not to throw the whole like you're going to vote for president for who you want to grab a beer with. Like she just seems like someone who understands what's happening, and she can make a joke and laugh about it, which is why it's so unfortunate to see her behaving in this way, because she does herself a disservice. But I also think when the cameras are up, she doesn't know how else to act. And that is going to be, that's really tough. There's just an immediate expiration date on it. I really genuinely just think there is.
Yes. I wish we saw more of Tammy Sue, the person you're speaking of, and less of
Tammy Sue,
the person she portrays on TV. Because even with, I'm like, it's always about the show. She'll throw anyone under the bus for the show. Everything's about the show, to a point where that's great, you care about the show, but also you're really misreading the audience. And we don't want to pile on Shannon in this moment. We don't want to watch you berate somebody that we already feel like, We've seen life humble on the show season after season. In her weakest moment, and with the addition of Alexis, it's not like you're kicking her when her down. You're going out of your way to like stomp her. It's just to your point. It's again, like I wouldn't want to watch. That's the part I worry with Tamra. Like I'm enjoying her right now. I think she's great. But that, if that kind of goes into overdrive for too long, it's like, ugh. But I don't know, because it feels like her and, well, I think I saw an interview. Shannon said they'll never be friends again.
I mean, Shannon said that on, I think that interview was on Andy's Girls.
Yes. Your interview was great, by the way.
Thank you. Just asking for the, looking for the compliment. Waiting for it.
That was so good. I remember texting you. I was so happy that you had that moment. But yes, I can't see them being friends again, but maybe they can at least be cordial, maybe.
Well, that was the thing that I was trying to figure out a way to like say this to Shannon, because I don't know if I'm ever going to have this opportunity again. And I was so, so thankful for it, to be like, do you understand what's happening here? Like, do you understand that she's always going to be this person and that she's finding joy in your darkness? Like, are we aware of this? And I'm concerned for you if you accept her friendship once more, because she's never going to stop. And now we know, this season especially, there's nothing that's too low for Tamra to find delight. And so I was really thankful for her saying, like, I get it. Like, I see what's happening. And she just felt so entirely connected to her truth, which, God bless, seems to be matching the truth of the situation. And this is something that I said on Angie's Girls before, and I honestly stand behind it, because I've been thinking about this. I think the wrong way forward would be to have a teary, hug-filled apology at the end of Orange County, their 17-part reunion, and God bless, I'll love every single minute of it. I actually think that would be the wrong path forward, because I think it would be dishonest to them and dishonest to a lesser extent to us. I think we should exist in a world in which they're not fucking with each other. I think it should be some sort of like Dynasty, Dallas, neither of which show I've ever seen a single second of genuinely, but like I know from pop culture, like these things where we have the just like
you're too young.
I'm too young. Like I genuinely, that's like two generations ahead of me. That I genuinely think it's like some kind of soap opera, General Hospital, Days of Our Lives kind of thing, where it's like, no, just have people, Sopranos, like you have the, you know, the big families, like have their one family, this is the other, like you're going to see each other. Maybe there will be someone who comes into the picture or changes where it's the enemy of my enemy is my friend. It doesn't mean they can't hang out and have fun, but like we're not pretending that these women should be close again. Because I actually just genuinely on its face don't think they should. So why not move forward and have, you know, they'll have it out at the reunion. Doesn't mean they can in the future. Probably, well, no, I'm not going to say it would have been maybe what would have happened if LVP had stayed with LVP and Kyle. That would have been different. But like, just have these women on the show where they don't feel like at the end of the day, they're forced to, you know, not even get along, but be close. I just don't think they should, that Shannon should trust her like that again.
I totally agree, and I hope we get that. And cause to your, she does take joy in Shannon's pain and misery. And it's, again, I agree. I think Tammy Sue off camera is, she gives me very humble, nice. She's probably a great Tom. But there is that part of her that revels in the misfortune. And it, yeah, there's no coming back from that, I think. Especially because she seems to get worse every week. That dinner was really bad. Also, Alexis, can we just okay, I'm glad she's here this season. I'm glad it's strong, but she's good for this season. But I'm curious to see how much longer she makes it, because so far it's like a delightful flop in that she's so bad it's good, so I'm enjoying it. But I was like, wow, you are the same. I'm starting to remember, I was like, oh wait, this is why I didn't enjoy you that much near the end, because you're not only oddly judgmental, it's not even the judgmental part. Your whole identity is wrapped up with whatever man you're dealing with at the time. And Johnny J is the least interesting man on the planet. She's managed to do even worse than she did before with the other one. But yeah, it's just hard to watch. And bringing out the receipts about the screenshots of the wire transfer, I was like, you are too thirsty. You just being there is already a presence. You're already a presence just by being there. Be a person. Calm down. Let the mess naturally flow out, or at least choreograph when it comes out better. Because wire transfer. It's like, girl. And then I'm fun. Girl, if you got to tell us you're fun, you're not that much fun. I mean, she might be fun, but I don't see it. Not in that.
Very that. And I also feel like Alexis has mistaken Shannon for Peggy Tenuce. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like to a certain extent, Alexis is like, now I get to win. Because I didn't really win before because of all that other stuff. And like people maybe thought I was like being jealous and stuff. But now I get to win. And I'm just thinking, like, Shannon hasn't done anything to you, ma'am.
Nothing.
But give her a chance. She probably will. Like, you're not even trusting yourself enough to like look at Shannon and be like, she's probably going to fuck up. Sweetie, you've watched the show. You've seen every episode. You know that Shannon is going to inevitably Shan, but you're so fucking dumb. You can't wait for the marathon. You're too like crazed to sprint. Well, guess what? You're fucking, look at me with all of these goddamn jackets. You're falling all over the hurdle, sweetie. Like, baby.
I didn't want to say dumb, but it is. She's dumb. Bless her heart.
You know what? Let's normalize saying some people are dumb. I know that I often say let's not do it, but like sometimes people are just dumb. Like, I think Alexis is maybe just dumb. God bless her. God bless her heart.
Yeah, because she's trying so hard, and it's so bad because she's just not smart or clever. And when she told Vicky about the welcome to my world, I love that Vicky was so mad. But also... To Vicky's credit, yes, Alexis, respect your elders and OGs. It's always Vicky's show, even if she's just a special guest.
What is the difference between ego and dumb? because I feel like Alexis is traveling a little too much in like, I love it. I love to be here. I'm meant to be here. I'm so great at this. Everybody, look at how great I am. And like genuinely not understanding what's happening. Because I don't, Tamra Judge, you cannot say she's dumb. You can say she's making strategic moves and like maybe they're backfiring. But Tamra Judge is really fucking smart. Alexis doesn't have the benefit of thinking like Tamra Judge. Few can, and thank God, because we would be in like toxic war at this point. But with Alexis, I think it's like the combination of the two. She's neither all dumb nor all ego. It's like it's a 50-50 split, and God bless her, she's losing 100%.
That's a very good point, because that there is ego there, because you can't tell her that she's not killing it right now. She thinks she's killing it. And Tamara's gassing her up. And I'm like, because I don't think the fans, I mean, you can only go so much by the online commentary, but from what I gleaned, the people are with Shannon and they're not loving Tamra. So I'm curious to see how both of them react to that at the reunion. Not to jump, but I'm curious.
But this is also the problem with being a Shan stan, is that now that I see there's like an overwhelming response in my little bubble of Instagram, but I just assume that everybody thinks that, because it's like, of course, it's Shan, she's wonderful. So now I'm like, oh, okay, so you guys are new here. So this is like a new, so I need to give you an orientation book, because obviously this is like new for a lot of people. And again, welcome. There are many, many seats available. You were usually sort of undersold. So we have made room for you guys. The room has been here for many, many years, and you all belong. We're so happy. We're thankful. We're grateful. We are a smaller but mighty crew, and we are passionate AF. So there's that. But like, I don't know. It almost feels like when people are saying they're Team Shan, they're like not a little embarrassed by it, but I think people are in shock where they're like, I'm Team Shan.
I saw some, and I looked on Twitter. I saw some, I'm shocked, but a lot just calling it like it is, which I was like, if you're getting support on like the hellscape of the internet, that is a good sign for your narrative. Now, I will say I've noticed, which I was going to ask you about, there seems to be a big divide on how Gina handled Jen. I did not love that. Ultimately, I understand Gina's complaint, although, I mean, I'm not in real estate, but I mean, it's a bad look that she was not able to pay her rent and she was a referral. I don't know if that's going to damage your career as much, but she did say that it cost her job. Having said that, while she has a right to be frustrated and upset, I did not like her berating her in a public place. Because if you're that concerned about your career and professional standing, you, a real estate agent on national television, berating a woman who admittedly doesn't know much because she was raised in, you know, whatever, just a woman hard on her luck with children, struggling. And while, yeah, you don't need to spend money on Glenn, the reality is it's a TV show and she is investing in herself. Hopefully he paying for it. Well, not with any stolen phones, allegedly, whatever. But I didn't like it in that moment, because I'm like, you're yelling at her about being broke at a coffee shop. Do you actually think this is going to improve your professional standing? Can you imagine how many people are at home dealing with Jen's same problems? Not the exact. Maybe they don't have Glenn. But, you know, I Jen should live within her means. She has a lot to learn. Gina, again, has a right to be upset. But it was just the yelling and berating in a public space. I was like, you couldn't have just went to her house. Do it in a parking lot, with an empty parking lot. It just was really tacky. I didn't like that on Gina, who I generally like am rooting for. But besides those confession looks, sorry.
No, I think you're spot on with a lot of this. I do think it's also difficult because Gina's not a reality TV star on a real estate show where there is already enough of a critique that they get of like some of it deserved, of like, you're amplifying stuff for TV, you're making this like really serious financial transaction into a joke. Like, all that being said, Gina already has a couple knocks against her for being a Real Housewife, where there is an idea and a stereotype of Real Housewives of like, are you doing this as a hobby? Are you doing this for plot? Like, how serious are you?
Are you?
We're being on reality TV. Sure, it might get, make your listings potentially, might get them a little bit more attention, but I do also think she's working her way uphill. Like, there's some other stuff that she has to work against. So I assume both because of the lease agreement, maybe what percentage she may or may not have received. Also, because she genuinely does seem to want to take this seriously. And she is, it's a small town. She's already had a reputation that's probably difficult because of being on reality TV. And she's saying, like, you know, there's another deal that could have happened, but this person didn't return my calls because of this thing that happened. I think there's that obstacle that she has to work her way through. And also the fact that she did seem to do Jen a favor. She didn't do a credit check, which she should have done. She didn't do all this other stuff, which she should have done. I think she's probably a little bit mad at herself for some of that. But I also think Jen sitting down at the table and starting with the, like, you wronged me, how dare you, meant that this was not a conversation that was going to go well, because Gina felt like this person has to sit down at the table and start with the, like, I'm sorry for not telling you how bad things had gotten. I'm sorry for signing a contract and it turned out I didn't have the money, or my ex didn't have the money. We should not have been making this decision. We did not have, you know, at the point in which we signed this lease, I would assume that her husband was aware of his financial situation and he was not forthcoming with her. But because she signed this deal, she was not responsible for the contract that she signed. She never should have signed it. So I think it started in a difficult place. And also the fact that, yeah, like, she showed up with glam. Gina understands that they're filming a reality TV show, but like, if this person is crying poverty and she's spending at least several hundred dollars to just sit down with me at this coffee shop, Big Little Lies style, and cry to me about how poor she is, then like, don't pay someone else to put on your waterproof mascara.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if she bartered for that type of, you know, Danielle doesn't pay. I don't know if she did pay, make some kind of situation. Again, I truly understand Gina's frustration. And I think, but though, for me, Gina is one of those who thinks, well, because I dealt with a similar situation and did it this way, therefore, this is how it is. And it's not like that for everyone, or in Jen's case, it's getting to that point, but she's not there yet. I mean, she needs a wake up call. I just think Gina's anger, and sort of a mean girl-less way, where like, she's come up now and doing better and kind of very flippant on someone who is where she used to be only a couple years ago. Again, I think she had every right to be upset. I just wish she would have handled it differently, because I think particularly people struggling with money problems, which is something I've written a lot about, I think there are ways you talk to people, particularly, again, I totally, you're on a reality show. You probably should not be spending money on glam if you need to pay rent. But I mean, that's so tricky when those type of shows, though, you can eventually make a ton of money, but it does require a lot of investment from you at the outset. And so that's dicey. And it's hard to, I try not to count other people's money. I just wish Gina had handled that differently, but I think even she probably understands now that it could have gone differently. I don't know. I understand. Jen needs to grow up, but it just felt very mean, especially to do it so public. Like, because people were clearly turning around to look, and it's just, yeah, yikes.
Much like Jennifer Aiden on her last appearance on Watch What Happens Live, and I do mean last, when it comes to summer, I need to keep hydrated, and that's why I love Fiji water. Jen's thirst might not ever be quenched, but with Fiji water, mine always is. Fiji water is Earth's finest water. Unlike the other two top premium bottled water brands, Fiji water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. Fiji Water has more than double the electrolytes as the other two top premium bottled water brands, giving it its signature soft, smooth taste. And that's why Fiji Water is the number one premium imported bottled water brand in the U.S. And P.S., Fiji Water has a perfectly balanced 7.7 pH. Get stocked up on Fiji Water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick up some today. Alexis Bellino, imagine how much better her season could have gone if she had just simply quenched that thirst. And my recommendation, it's not just water, it's Fiji Water. There are so many fall rituals I'm so excited to get back into, like seeing which $50,000 ring Lisa Barlow is going to lose next. And of course, there's one ritual that deserves to be added back to your fall priorities in addition to Salt Lake: daily hydration and energy from Liquid IV. Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier and Energy delivers 100 milligrams of natural caffeine plus 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, so you can accomplish all the things you want and need to do, minus getting Monica back to the cast. I focus every day on making sure I have enough electrolytes. When I wake up and before I go to sleep at night, I am making sure that my electrolytes are on the up and up so that I can stay there too. And also at the end of the night, when I'm looking for a little SGKK, I add Liquid IV to seltzer and I have a little bit of a seltzer spritz. For me, faster hydration is not just about workouts. It's about ensuring that my quality of life is good. It's an all-in-one formula that provides mind and body energy plus hydration that leaves you feeling focused, alert, and ready to take on anything. Tear, pour, live more. One stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. Powered by Live Hydroscience, an optimized ratio of electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients that turn ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. That's 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink. With 8 essential vitamins and nutrients, it's always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Start a new fall ritual with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code Andy at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code Andy at liquidiv.com. You know whose skin I envy? My dear best friend, J-Lo's. I have been a J-Lo superfan since day one. Every docuseries, every movie, I am all in. And I have had the pleasure of meeting Jennifer Lopez. And let me tell you what, she is a glow. And now I'm thinking about The Wedding Planner. So, Chris Manzo, we have a movie we need to rent. And yes, we need to talk about J-Lo's beauty regimen, the goddess of glow herself. She's just shared her secret 5 S's to ageless skin: serum, sunscreen, supplements, sleep, and sano. In Spanish, vivir sano means live a healthy, sane life. It's the foundation of her new J-Lo beauty line. P.S. Did I pronounce Spanish better or worse than Vicky Gumbelson at Ondelez? Get that J-Lo glow for yourself with J-Lo Beauty's Deluxe Kit, the one-and-done skincare solution clinically proven to tighten and lift for instant, long-lasting results. It gives your skin a smoother, visibly brighter look, improves the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles, and protects against UVAs and UVBs. My personal favorite is that blockbuster hydrating cream. I am obsessed with a cream that does not make my skin feel oily, which is why I'm obsessed with J-Lo's. I get that kind of dewy glow. So if you're tired of trying to crack your own skincare code, try J-Lo Beauty for 60 days. If you're not completely satisfied, just return the bottles, even if empty, and get your money back. Want that J-Lo glow? Head to jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls and get a special gift of 4 free masks for AGs. Head to jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls for 4 free masks and free shipping today. jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls.
It is. That's also one of those things of Housewives, of like the secondhand embarrassment I would feel if I was in a room or part of a cast and people are screaming at each other. And there's like people who also are paying for their dinner. Production's not like paying for their dinner. And they like got a reservation, didn't realize until maybe they showed up at the restaurant or whatever that they were going to be background actors in this like bananas action sequence. I probably would feel a certain way. I also think it's difficult because, you know, Tamra has agreed with Gina on a lot of this of like, yeah, because we're both scrappy and we both had to survive and we didn't have stuff handed to us and we had to figure it out. And I completely respect them. But there is also the assumption that Jen would even want to do that. Like, we're all assuming that Jen wants to figure out her finances, that Jen wants to be more independent. Why are we assuming that? Are we assuming that because maybe she's told that to us? Because she's not behaving in a manner that would suggest that she is. Like, this is really unfair of me, because I also think you can struggle with finances and still find ways to self-care. You can struggle with finances mm-hmm. and be on that path. It doesn't mean you should never have fun or spend money on something. You don't need to go from like A to Z, because I also don't think that's realistic and maybe even reasonable. So it's probably unfair for me to say this, but like, it doesn't feel like Jen's quality of life has changed in any way, in the ways that Tamra's has, in the ways that Gina's has. Maybe a certain amount of understanding and reality has crept in, but she went from her father to her husband to her now fiancé. I'm not saying that you can't fall in love with somebody who's telling you he has a lot of money and seems to be showing it. But like, are you saying no to stuff? Are you saying, let's not go on this fancy trip to Vegas because I'm only making $50 a class in yoga and I need to pick up some extra classes? Like, is she ever saying no so that she can do something that maybe isn't as fun, but will get her somewhere else? Like, should she have to? I don't know. She's telling us she wants to. I don't know that she's behaving that way.
That's fair. Yeah. Jen is given, one of these men are going to take care of me and I'll be fine because I usually am. And she might have a point. But I do think in that instance, because the eviction, she was very flippant about it, because I feel like in the end, she'll know she'll be okay. That was her error, to be so flippant and to not communicate to Gina, who did her a solid, who helped her. I'm so sorry. I wish she had did that better, but you're right. I don't think she's not really, she says it, but she's not really trying to change. I will say, Gina, can you ask Jen for help with glam and hair, please? Just that Judy Jetson at Fashion Nova or thing that she had on last week with the silver. You know, again, I'm rooting for Gina, but what was that? I was clowning somebody in that with that hair and that dress, trying to clown somebody else. I was like,
You know, not everybody, sometimes we regress, and I don't think that that was a step forward. And I had seen a screenshot of it, like a snapshot of it, and I was like, oh, this isn't great. But then when I saw it in the episode, I was like, oh, this is worse than I had remembered. It was a very unfortunate, it was head to toe terrible. But then we see her, like, she just went to a fucking video thing about waves or science or something in Vegas with Travis and two of their kids, and like, she looked great on just like a random day. Hair looked great, makeup looked great. I just think sometimes maybe she thinks she should have more creative expression than is,
yeah, that's
successful. Yeah, you know, dial it back a little bit.
We have made some progress, but definitely last week shook me to my core. Oh, is she still with Travis? Is that his name that I missed?
Yeah, they seem to be doing well, and I don't think they're living together again, but I think I might also be assuming that. I think that they, from everything that we've heard from her friends when they go and watch What Happens, they're doing well, they're still together, they're better than ever, but I don't think that they're living together again.
Well, that's nice that actually worked out, because I wasn't so sure. And I thought Gina was, even if it was not hurtful, it hurt her. I think fundamentally, like, the money and the ex-wife, those are reasons why you can't cohabitate. I got her in that. But that's good that they're doing well. I wasn't sure. I love Heather Dubrow, and I just haven't had a moment to say that yet. I know that's an acquired taste, too, but I enjoy Heather.
You know what? And I like when she's on offense. I like when she's on offense and deep. I like when she's playing those positions, something else, sports, yada, yada. I did watch some of the Olympics. Like, I do like it. I like when she says, oh, somebody's trying to come for me. And I don't like that a lot. And when she's under a little bit of pressure, because that woman, talk about money. She's got all the money. She's got fame. Her husband's doing really well. She's in a happy marriage. She has kids that she supports who love her. There's like, she's got a lot. She has too much. She's got a lot. Somebody needs to come for her a little bit. She needs to feel a little bit of pressure. So thank God for the housewife so we can see that play out. And you know what? I got to say, something's going on with this Katie. Because I was like, oh, yeah, she's a great fit and I don't have to agree with her and whatever else. But I'm like, you're a little more manipulative toward us than I think I realized. Something isn't really past the smell test here. And I feel like other cast members are kind of referencing it, like wink, wink, like Katie's not great. And I just, I'd be very careful. Not that anybody's like stanning Katie, but like something's going on here. I'm not, I don't want to compare her to Anna Marie. I don't want to do her that kind of disservice, but like something's not going to entirely work out by the end of the season. This strategy may not really, really work out.
Yeah, I'm exactly where you are. My immediate thought was, oh, she's such a great fit. There's something to your, yeah, there's something there. And she really play too close to the sun going after Heather. I admire her bravery. If you're going to go for it, go for it. I personally am not that interested in this, did they call the paps or not situation, but either way, you texting your friend and he going yes does not mean it happened. And I hope she's not Anne Marie, but there is something there and I'm not sure. But so yeah, I'm where you are. Like she felt immediate like a good fit, but there is something it's not curling all the way over and I can't put my finger on it. She has an interesting story, I'll say that, but there's stuff there.
Yeah, the best thing about her is like the storyline, hearing her talk about her experiences, adoption, her husband, his relationship with her daughter, all of that is really great. Want to hear more of it. I actually want to see more, and I assume we will, but more conversations between her and her husband, because he understandably so seems very confused as to what it is that he signed up for. And I love that. I love when a husband's like genuinely like bewildered by all of this. So I'm here for that. I was also confused. So she's a golf journalist?
Yes.
How does she not know how to swing a bat or whatever? Not a bat, a club or like whatever, the stick with the thing. Like, how do you not know how to do that?
I was like, not every sports writer I know can like hoop or play ball or whatever. But I was like, they are familiar with the concept. She looked so lost when she had that club in her hand. I was like, you're paid to write about this? Are you just hamming it up for the camera? She should know a little bit more. I was surprised. I was like, girl, there's a golf place next to my building. Drive up, go. I'm pretty sure it's playing OC, but like packed over there. Yeah, that was off.
It was a little weird. Let's circle back though to that paparazzi. So what do we think happened there?
I like that Terry's so honest about him liking the pap shots and he would call them directly himself. I feel like at worst, not worse, at least now you look on that, but there's plausible deniability if it happened.
No part of me, not a single part of me thinks that Heather called. But like, did an assistant? Did Terry? Is that possible? Is it also possible that the paparazzi were there just having a happy Sunday, or were there because like Angelina Jolie was driving by to go to whatever Thunder Mountain or whatever the hell, like Splash City? Like, yeah. Is it possible that they were just there and took a photo? Like, that's also possible. But also, the timing of it.
Well,
because
yes.
There was like a little random yes. fucking blog that was like saying their marriage was
and him holding her.
And him holding her. Yeah, like that's not great. But I do appreciate that in Heather trying to tell Terry about this, he just kind of smiled and was like, I love the paparazzi. Like that's, I love them because he's so happy he's famous and I'm so happy for him. Both of these people want to be famous and they're like fucking loaded and they're happy in their marriage with each other. And we've seen them at some more some difficult times, difficult points. I really like them. Like, I genuinely like them, and I just love it. I love when she's in like a little bit of hot water. Just love
I love them as a couple. OC is to me just the best franchise now. Most have fallen. What I really, really appreciate about, it's like such a good mix of light and dark. There are real things happening, but we also get Emily talking about her body and body dysmorphia and Shane and the Innocence Project, and she's still playing around with the mess. And Gina's got heavy stuff, but then, you know, poor shaming in public. Then there's, you know, it's just a good, they're all, because I think with Jersey, I was like, everyone on the cast is a good cast member, but they just don't mesh well. And that could be said about a couple of franchises now, how bad it's gotten. But OC really has it right. And I hope more shows these struggling franchises look to them. I just am really enjoying this season. It's pretty much the only one that I've enjoyed in a good time. And surprisingly, Dubai is okay. I actually enjoy Dubai more than Jersey.
I need to. So I have talked about an AG about wanting to start my Dubai journey. I just have not had a chance to, but I really like, hopefully in the next week can really like, just really focus and like get through. Cause I don't know how many episodes there've been, like maybe 10. Am I pulling that out of my ass?
No, you're close to that. Cause I think they just did the reunion. I would say about this season, I think it's a true step up in the right direction. I think Talene is a very good addition. There is still sometimes some pacing. I don't want to say boredom, but I can see some. Well, one of my friends actually used those same words. He's like, I listened to you and I was bored, but it got better. It's a direct quote. I think it's I think Stanberry, I really enjoy her since Ladies of London. The Chanel, Lisa Milan beef is interesting to watch. I will say Brooks is difficult to watch all around. Her behaviors online mirror her antics on the show, and I'm trying to be careful about just like this. It's always like a snide remark or something poking, and then just never. It's I hate to compare her to like her. She reminds me sometimes. She looks like Hey Michelle, the singer. But she sometimes reminds me of like a Disney villain, like Ursula the Sea Witch. I know that's awful, but like there's always something nefarious going on with her. Go ahead. Sorry.
Don't insult. I'm pointing to Ursula. Don't insult
me. I'm sorry. You're right. You're right. You're right. Like, she could never. She could never.
Misunderstood. My little Ursula drawing.
You remember how you said Tamara revels in the misery of Shannon. Brooks gives that energy just generally.
And wait, you mentioned something about Brooks online. So she blocked me and a bunch of other Jewish content creators for reasons I just can't imagine. So what's she doing online? Because I haven't seen her since, for no reason whatsoever since mid-October.
I don't remember the exact tweet. It was pretty, because I don't pay her that much mind. It was in the For You side of Twitter. I just remember saw something just kind of, you know, just snarky, a little bitchy, just unnecessary, like live tweeting. I have noticed that they are trying to get more people to watch the show. I don't know if people are actually finding it, but I will say the housewives seem to be more active on social. I'm just saying, like, her spirit online is like, she just says nasty things on the show. She can be even a little bit nastier to me online. That's all. It reflects her personality. I just think she probably would be cool if she weren't so mean. I don't know what's the root of that.
Well, the interesting thing I think with Brooks, and I haven't seen the season, so I'm absolutely fully talking out of my ass, and what an ass to talk out of. It feels like Brooks, from my kind of understanding of things, but also in having watched the previous season, is that she's that like kind of difficult but understandable level of obnoxious, where she knows it all, she understands it all, and she kind of laughs down and punches down at people who don't necessarily agree with her. And that can be difficult when you're like acting like you're above the show while still on the show, because then that adds a little bit of a separation between your opinions and the audience, because then that means if we disagree with you, are we also pieces of shit? Like, that can be difficult. And she hasn't invented that. It's a pattern that many, many people fall into. There's like a longer record of it, but I don't know that she would have the interest in figuring out why it is that she like sort of alienates herself from people. But I think it sort of begins and ends with a level of ego that is not a self-fulfilling prophecy, unless that prophecy is I'm going to end up alone.
Yeah, there's a story there that I know there's a story that explains that. I'm not necessarily trying to learn it, but there's just something, I don't know, psycho, like something all about her spirit. And I will say it's complicated this season that she's, they mentioned how much she drinks and she gets more belligerent and angry.
Oh!
So she's been, her drinking, I'm trying to be careful about that because we only see but so much. And, you know, but there have been moments where she's drinking and these qualities that I speak of just come out even worse. So sometimes I just wonder, I'm like, you, I mean, there's something about you that all of them like, because they, I can tell, they, I mean, before the show, you could tell she had some real familiarity with a lot of the women. And they enjoy her. I could see her being maybe enjoyable in some capacity if you saw her in person. But there's just, again, something off about her that just always gets to like the nastiness and the mess. It's like, it's just not enjoyable to see. And it, and I will say one of the episodes where she's drinking, it really did not help. it made it look worse. And I think she called Carolyn Stanbury a cunt. Is that it? I think she might
to
have.
Her face? To her face?
I can't remember what was to her face. Well, yes, because Carolyn kept saying, see you next Tuesday. So maybe she did say it to her face. But even then, Brooks was just being very flippant. It's like, that might be casual conversation for you, love, but like, not everybody is just like, cunt, and then they get over it and just rides off their back. She's an interesting to watch. But that said, like, I think the show is getting better. I thought it was fun the first season. I do think it's interesting they went to Bali for the vacation. I think that improves because I think Dubai is obviously a challenging place to shoot. But I do think they're getting better. I don't know if I would recommend because I don't want to hear it, but we're getting there. I mean, and honestly, I like that they at least have money. It's literally one of the few that where they have real money still. Not a ringing endorsement, but something.
Well, is she still focusing a lot on that spa salon?
The spa salon is open. It's apparently doing really well. It looks nice from the little bit we have seen. There was a scene though that kind of broke my heart for her in that she was saying how her son, who she clearly adores, it was some, I'm paraphrasing, but it was something like, you don't tell me these things, you tell me your dad. And he was like, well, you're always at work. So that kind of broke my heart a little bit. You know, like, there's something that explains a lot of that meanness, but I don't know. But yeah, the salon is open and she says it's doing well. It did look nice. She's doing it better than Kenya Moore, bless her heart.
Well, I do want to get your thoughts on that, but yeah, it's I don't know why this is coming to me. It's completely unrelated from our conversation, but I feel like, was there a movie or a show or something about somebody who had a spa or a business only for the purposes of money laundering? I don't know why that's coming to me. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about, and there's no question there because I know that she's a strong businesswoman. There's never been a question of where this cash has been coming from. I don't know why that's just coming to me. I can't remember the name of it. True Life, maybe? True Life?
Well, in Atlanta or Dubai, that could, in New York, I'm trying not to touch that one, but you know, you never know. I could not know, allegedly.
I remember when she came up with this idea and it all came together so quickly. I mean, obviously she's a great business person because this all seemed to come together very quickly and she had investors and it looked, before I was blocked in mid-October for reasons I can't think of anything why that would happen. But I remember seeing when she had like videos and photos during their hiatus, it looked beautiful, like beautiful, beautiful.
So you have me thinking, okay, so when they went to Bali, because she was a problem and she didn't fly with them. And then she showed up.
Bali this season?
Bali's this season.
Okay.
About where she gets her money. She ended up flying private, she claimed, from Dubai to Bali, which Stanberg was like, that did not happen. That would have been such and such money. And she was adamant that I'm curious to know who's funding that. But I mean, there are a lot of rich people there, so I can only, but yeah, she flew private and was, you know, that was her way of stunting. And I thought, that's a lot of money. I don't know if that's from the salon, but I don't know. I don't get my hair there. Done there.
because usually it takes a minute to break even. And, you know, she's obviously invested a lot in this business. So good for her that she has that amount of definitely on the up and up cash at her disposal. She definitely doesn't seem to me like someone who would raise any questions about anything, because that really feels absolutely wonderful.
Ever feel like you're too busy watching a beloved Bravo marathon to eat healthy? Meal kits from Sunbasket are the perfect solution, like spicy chicken tinga tacos with black beans and pico de gallo, which I got to make and enjoy this week. I was able to swap in a vegan substitute for the chicken and had one of those dishes I will remember. Unlike Padmalakshmi, I am not a top chef. Sunbasket is so easy. It comes with super easy to follow directions. And if I can do it and love doing it in the people's kitchen, so can you. Sunbasket makes it easy and convenient to cook healthy, delicious meals at home. Try it for 4 weeks and see how your clean eating can change the way you feel. And Sunbasket can fit my lifestyle and many more, including Mediterranean, carb conscious, vegetarian, keto-friendly, gluten-free, diabetes-friendly, and more. And as I did, it's super easy to customize recipes to meet your exact needs. I don't feel constricted by looking at vegan or vegetarian only. Sunbasket makes it possible to eat your best your way. You can swap red meat for chicken or turkey, or like me, swap in a vegan protein. Plus, Sunbasket offers pre-made meals, delicious single-serving meals that are ready to eat in less than 5 minutes, which is just around a commercial break from RHOC. There's something for every health journey, mine included, and every busy lifestyle. It's easy to use Sunbasket to achieve your kind of healthy. Go to sunbasket.com/andysgirls today to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/andysgirls to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I have some definite self-care non-negotiables. Number one, when temps go down, I need to have a daily stroll. Sometimes those walks are longer than on other days, but what's most important for me is getting outside. It's easy to let priorities slip, and that's where self-care comes in. And when you feel like you have no time for yourself, non-negotiables like therapy are more important than ever. I have been going to therapy since 2018, and there has been such a huge shift in my life ever since. It's the single best decision that I made for myself. It's helpful for me personally with positive coping skills, how to set boundaries with loved ones. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/andysgirls today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/andysgirls. There are so many moments that make up a year. The big moments and milestones, birthdays, anniversaries, when Shan came to the Clawfish. And then there are the small moments, the slow morning spent making a decadent breakfast, running to a grocery store to get 9 lemons to put in a bowl. All of these moments come together to create our year and in the end, create our life. Artifact Uprising wants to help you preserve your meaningful moments this holiday season. Whether you want to say, I love you with the perfect gift, display favorite memories in your home, or connect with loved ones throughout the year, BCC Shan, they have a product you can personalize. Artifact Uprising is a Colorado-based company that creates premium quality, customizable photo goods for your digital photos. I just ordered a few photo books with Artifact Uprising, a hardcover travel photo book in this gorge shade of Pacific blue, which is perfect for the credenza in my living room, devoted to my first ever trip to Paris, and a photo book in midnight blue, one for myself and for my family. Moments from my childhood, my parents spending time together, it is going to be the perfect gift for Tobes and Chard. This is something incredibly special that will keep us connected. Artifact Uprising makes it easy to tell your story. Through the end of the year, AGs can give Artifact Uprising a try and get 20% off for new customers or 15% off if you've purchased before. Just visit artifactuprising.com and use code AndySCrolls through December 31.
Listen, before we wrap this 10-part, 17-hour episode, and you know I could record about six more, tell me, Kenya, skadoodled, Phaedra's on vacay, living her best life with the cast. What's our current horoscope astrological journey with the recent and upcoming status of Atlanta?
I still cannot believe Kenya did this nonsense that got her. I still can't believe that. I'm actually blown away kind of how both Kenya going out kind of like Nene, if not worse, has made us like it's the freaking frack era of RHOA, which I was not expecting. I will say Phaedra felt like an obvious choice because they don't have many options. It's what it is. I saw Andy on a Watch What Happens Live say recently, don't worry about the Atlanta season. I'm not saying he's not telling the truth, but also clearly, he said that about other shows, and everybody has subjective taste. Phaedra is the best they can do with what they have to work with. I do think she'll bring some energy. I'm curious. I'm still really nervous about the show because, and I'm trying not to prejudge, but some of the new casts, when I see clips of them and the interactions, it's not working for me. But Phaedra being back and doing more Cynthia will help. Phaedra is just the best option we have, considering everyone else has been run off or in legal limbo. So hopefully that's good, but I'm still just very weary when I see clips of the new cast. I'm trying not to prejudge, but sometimes it's hard. So I'm just going to look away and see. But I will say Phaedra has been great on Traitors, mid on Married to Medicine. This is back in her element, so I'm going to just hope for the best. But I am kind of surprised we're in the freaking frack era of the show. I can't believe like they kind of won.
Yeah, that is. It's kind of nuts when you think about it. And also, you mentioned Andy saying like, "Don't worry about this season." I forget who the guest was on Watch What Happens, but I remember them saying something along the lines of like, "I'm a little nervous about Atlanta" or whatever.
That oh, it was Danny was. Pellegrino. Yes,
and Danny. And then Andy was like pretty defensive. Like
he was defensive.
And I was like, "Oh shit!" Like you really pressed a button. I was actually fascinated by it because he truly was like, "Don't worry about it. It's going to be great." I'm like, "Oh shit!" So it really might not be great because the way he responded so quickly, like shutting it down, I was like, oh shit, they're really freaking out. As well they should. It does appear to be a little bit of a shit show.
It looks like it. I just hopefully they'll surprise me. I would like to be pleasantly surprised.
So would I. And who knows what's gonna happen at Kianse HQ. I really don't know. This is quite a pickle for Kenya, so I don't know what she's gonna do, what the future.
He really fucked up, Jesus.
Yeah, but I think, yes, totally agree. And I feel like it could be like a one season timeout.
I hope so.
But it also depends if that person is still there. I don't know, they might end up being a breakout star. Like, and also, you know, it's tough because Atlanta, we went through this rebuilding process, but I don't know that a lot of people expected for that rebuild to happen in the actual episodes. Like,
right.
This is why we spent 9 years recasting so that you could be efficient and up it at it. And obviously some stuff happened that changed that dynamic, but it's also the risk involved in sort of building a franchise around one person or two people, Portia and Kenya, and then expecting a lot of the season is going to be their interactions. Like, what happens when you lose one of them? Do you really have a strong enough ensemble?
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, listen, I went to the 15th anniversary taping and watch what happens. They had a lot of fun together. Their energy was genuinely great, Portia and Phaedra's. So I could see this season actually being potentially a lot of fun. They really, really, their chemistry was like really, really strong. So we'll see. It might actually end up benefiting us. Maybe, I hate to say that because you know I love Kenya, but like maybe this will just be a different kind of season and it'll be a good one. It really genuinely could.
Look at us ending on a hopeful note. Kind of like Jersey, yes. Well, I'm with you about Atlanta. We'll see. That it has to work, honestly. They all need it to work. So maybe we will be.
Listen, you know what always works? Every time I read one of your goddamn books, you have New York Times bestselling author. We have I Can't Eat Jesus. We have I Don't Want to Die Poor, the story of Sarah Galley. We have I Finally Bought Some Jordans. I cannot, if someone was starting your series, because it really does feel like a trilogy, would you have them start with the first book or start with the most recent? What would your perspective be? Because guys, I could not more highly recommend Michael's writing, which is so unique, so connective, so funny, so smart. You're going to have big feelings when you read it. I think I've cried while I've read every single one. Like, I just genuinely could not more highly recommend. So what would you say to people who are possibly new to your published New York Times bestselling author series? Would you say start with the first one, or what would you recommend? Or the second, what would you say to do?
That is so kind. I thank you so much. And if you're not offended by me slightly hugging the tree enough to check out my books,
tree huggers, buy his fucking books, okay? Jesus.
Even you Gordita crunches, we can all get along. I am very proud of the third, but you could start with the first. I think it's a little bit for everyone, depending on what you want, but I really am proud of the first book. So I think it's a good way to start. But if you have it in you to get the third, I would really appreciate the support. And I'm so glad you had me, my technical difficulties and all. Thank you, Sarah.
Which AGs know nothing about, because God bless a little bit of an edit. So guys, we just did this all the way through. No problems here.
That's right.
Can you tell AGs where they can follow you on social, all that and more? And I'm going to include a link in the show notes for your most recent book, I Finally Bought Some Jordans, although I would highly recommend getting all three genuinely. So I'm going to include the link in show notes for that. But where can AGs follow you on social in the meantime?
Bless you. I am Young, S-I-N-I-C-K, Young Cynic. I'm now old head, but you get it. The name sticks. It'll be explained in the first book. Thank you so much again for having me, Sarah.
You are so welcome. Thank you so much for coming on. And guys, speaking of things you should access, join the Andy Scrolls Patreon. There is a two-part, two-ish hour-long Satchel Spectacular talking about all of your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns, named in honor of Her Holiness Kelly Cloran Ben-Simone, your satchels of gold about Jersey, the present, past, future of it, a lot of different takes, which I really loved, out now at patreon.com/andysgirls. This is, it's impeccable writer girl energy. So thanks to all of you who are Patreon supporters. Again, patreon.com/andysgirls, Instagram @DameGalley. Michael Arsenault, just a couple of writer girls chatting this Monday, whatever the hell day of week it is, whatever afternoon. Thanks so much for coming back on.
Thank you so much for having me. Hopefully soon again.
Amen. And thanks to all of you for listening. We will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance, like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.